Friends, today we start a new series called Reasons for Hope. How many of you know that sometimes it takes a while for hope to come along? And even as you just rejoice over the fact that there's a sovereign God who from the time that time began has planned that he would give us hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? How are you also aware that God is not afraid of taking his time? To do that. And today I want to speak to you about hoping in God's timing. Hoping in God's timing. Now, that sounds good, but often we are very frustrated with God's timing. Amen? It's like that. You know, we're like, what are you doing? And I got to tell you, if there was ever a year that needed Christmas, it's 2020. Do you believe that? I think there were people putting up their lights the day after Halloween. Like, they didn't even wait for Thanksgiving to show up. I started seeing Christmas lights. It was like people were like, need joy, need light, need some hope. And I was trying to think of an illustration that would kind of capture 2020. And so this picture on the next slide is what I came up with. This happened 2 weeks ago. And who that is, that's a guy named Stuart B., and he decided to take his sailboat out off of Cape Canaveral, Florida, and then disappeared. And instantly, it was a whole rescue thing. Coast Guard was called out. They looked for him for an entire day. They find nothing. They looked for him for 2 days. They find nothing. On the third day, a Coast Guard ship finds him 86 miles off the coast. And that's exactly how they found him. The boat, sailboat had sunk, and what you see is only the tip of the boat sticking up out of the water. And a man had been clinging to, you can see the little anchor if you have better eyes than I do, clinging to that, bobbing in the water for almost 3 days. 86 miles out, you have no idea if anybody's even looking for you. Worse, can you imagine clinging to something that you have no idea how long the air pocket is going to hold? And are you going to die? Are you going to be rescued? And being completely without any sovereignty over the timing whatsoever. How many of you are thinking, yay? Now, praise God this man lived. It makes the illustration use much easier. I feel better about it because that's a horrible thing for him to have to go through. But I thought, this may seem dramatic, but man, this has been 2020. A lot of you have been bobbing around in uncertainty. Amen? I mean, our routines have been disrupted. Our relationships have been interrupted. Everything has been affected, and there's been these moments where you wonder, how long is this going to go on? I'm completely without any sovereignty over the timing on this. The question is, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you hoping in? And of all things today, I want to tell you to hope in God's timing. The very thing that may be causing you angst right now, I want to tell you to hope in. Hope in God's timing. Why? Because God is sovereign. And he has not been upset by COVID. And he has not been unloving in your life or mine. In fact, the Bible's pretty clear. He's working all these things together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purposes. And his plan is both grander than the frustration of your life and more intimately involved with the frustration of your life than you can possibly imagine. So I want you to hope in his timing. I want you to open your Bible up to Luke chapter 1. And if there were ever people who kind of could personify the heights and the depths of hoping in the timing of God, you'll find them in this nativity story. It's like the prequel to the nativity. This is before announcements, you know, Gabriel showing up with Mary. This is before Joseph has a vision before anybody travels to Bethlehem, before mangers, before shepherds in the hills, before wise men, before any of it, there's an elderly couple who have missed the train of life. They're waiting, and they're a beautiful picture because they're serving God, and yet they have been left empty on the things they've longed for most. The thing is nearest and dearest their heart. God has not answered, and they are in a pattern of waiting and living and existing. And so out of that, I just want to tell you, my first point is this: hope while you wait. Now, how many would agree that I've just told you something very hard? Hope while you wait. What you find out about these folks, they're living in the time when Herod is king in Judea. And if we were to, maybe I could say it to this way. We almost would, if we're Jewish today, ride a roller coaster of emotions hearing about these folks. We would be taken up to the joys and the heights when we hear about them, because we hear about a guy by the name of Zacharias. And instantly we hear he is a priest. He's of the family of Abijah, one of the Levitical families that serve in the temple. He is a man who is blessed by God. He would be looked upon, just knowing he's a priest, as a favored one. And then we would read that he married Elizabeth, who is of the house of Aaron. She's a daughter of Aaron. Now, if you and I were Jewish, we would instantly be thinking, bonus! Why? Because according to the traditions, there was no greater blessing, and it's actually written into the law that a priest should take a wife from the family of the house of Aaron. So you are not only blessed because you're a priest, you're doubly blessed because you married the right woman. In fact, everything about you screams, this is how you do it. You're just in line for the blessing of God. And then instead of us just saying, okay, great lineage, some bonuses to how you were born, in the next verse you find out they're actually genuinely wonderful people. How many of you like bumping into wonderful people? I mean, you bump into a lot of people, but you bump into people who are the real deal. When it describes them, it characterizes them as both righteous, but you notice what it says, not righteous in your or my eyes, it says righteous in the sight of God. Meaning that these people were not just those who were serving God out of legalism or tradition. They were those whose hearts were engaged in the worship of Jehovah. If you met them, the kindness of their life, the faithfulness of their life would just be read. And here they are, priest and a gal who's the daughter of a priest, and everything about us is on the roller coaster going, wow, what's God gonna do with them? And then the bottom falls out. And you find out that they have no child. In fact, the blessed are marked by the greatest example of not being blessed that there can be. The greatest undone is that Elizabeth is barren and she cannot conceive or have a child. In that culture, that was as bad as it got. That was as undone or as unblessed as you could be. And I want to remind you, this is not like the sixth year of their marriage and they've been trying to have kids and they're beginning to get worried and the adoption name is coming up, and you all know the story. And there are people who are listening to this who know the pain too. No, we're talking about, these are two people who are grandparent aged. That ship sailed, but it didn't quite sail in their heart. And the fact that it is marked out means that it is that pain that they have been carrying, that undone of their life, that lives like a shadow just beneath the surface of your life. Let me ask you a question here. Any of you got any undones? How many of your kids are undones? How many of your jobs are undones? How many of your parents are undones? How about your relationships? How about the deep longings of your heart? The things, the way you lived and you believed, and you're here and you really are a Christian today. And if you're not, I hope you'll be. But you really are a person who is walking by faith. You haven't abandoned your faith. You love God. But the fact is you love Him, and you love Him with ouch existing inside of you. Because it hasn't gone according to plan. And you're alone in a way you didn't want to be. and your future doesn't have what you wanted it to have, and you still believe in God, but some days it's hard to hope. In fact, you've had to put that away and believe like, well, at least I'm going to heaven. How many of you have had those days? At least I'm going to heaven. It's almost like we've settled. God, okay, that's not going to be my story. I'm not going to have my kids at my home that way. I'm never going to know that joy. I'm not talking to anybody, am I? Because that's this story. And what I'm telling you is pretty audacious. I'm telling you it's never too late. It's never too late. Even when your hope has not produced, it feels like these folks have completely missed the moment. Does it ever feel like that in your life? Like God missed the timing? I mean, I've had so many. And you know what's hard about a COVID year? I can't get it back. I can't have my parents here like I wanted. I can't do ministry the way I thought we were going to do it. I can't have that friend back because that friend's gone. I can't get that time back in my kids' life when I wanted them to experience this, but it's not there anymore. And sometimes you literally, even being a person of faith, look up and go, why? And when? And how long? And God would shout at you and I today, and He would say, it's not too late. In fact, my next point is another one by faith. I would tell you, for the undones of your life, and here it comes, you're being set up. It's being set up. God has a purpose in what is incomplete in your life. You are being set up, and not in some sneaky, conspiratorial way, but you are being set up to experience something, the greatness of your God, and it's never too late. You see, verses 8 and 9 are amazing, and some of the context behind it makes this story just explode. You see, here's Zechariah. He's elderly in age. He's been faithfully serving the Lord. Yeah, no child. Yeah, undones. But he's still going for it. And a day comes. Something unique happens. You see, cyclically, those eight families of servants of God, the priests would be called into service around the Passover. But let me tell you what this is like. There's 24,000 priests in Israel at this time. It's not like there's a couple hundred to choose from. There's 24,000, and divide that by eight families, you're still a couple thousand strong getting called to serve God in the temple at the time of Passover. Only once in a lifetime could you be chosen to burn incense before the Lord as a priest. And so out of that family, you would be chosen by lot, and that's what it means. They were chosen by lot. And so here in his old age, serving with undones, Zechariah gets selected at that particular time to be the one who would carry incense into the temple proper where the priests did not go because it was located next to the Holy of Holies and to present incense to the Lord. And when it went up as a flavorful offering to him, the whole people and nation gathered there would know the blessing of God. You were lucky if once in a lifetime it happened and the majority of priests never experienced it. So you know what he's thinking? This is my moment. This is God's blessing. This is what he had for me. Yeah, I may never know this and I may never know that, but I'm being used by God. Hey, frankly, how many of you would settle to be being used by God? Praise God, but guess what? Then you don't know your God. Oh, he's far greater than that. He's a lot bigger than that. God will take all the time He wants with the undones of your life that He might give you Himself and He might glorify Himself. It is not an encouraging thing to look at the track record of God's movement in history. Moses, the deliverer of Egypt, spent 40 years in the desert with a bunch of scuzzy sheep. And then he spent another 40 years in the desert with a bunch of scuzzy sheep. David was promised to be the king of Israel as a teenager, and he spent until his 30s being chased by a psychopath on run for his life to get to that moment. There's a ton of stories. If you want the granddaddy of them all, think about Abraham. We call him the father of faith on purpose. Why? Middle-aged, he's told by God, I am going to, through your body, bring a heir. So between you and your wife Sarah, you will conceive, you will have a child. He will be the beginning of the nations you will father, and through your line, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Guess how old he was when that one came through? He was 100 years old. How long have you been waiting for your answer? How many of you are discouraged by the way this talk's going? You're like, I like microwave Jesus. Please. No, God has something bigger in mind. Something greater. Every one of these people received the blessing of God and the fulfillment of promise in a way that was beyond anything they could ask or think or imagine. But your own heart is convincing you that all you need is the exactness of what you've asked for. You see, you've got a simple answer. Maybe it is the salvation of your daughter or son. Maybe it is a different marriage. Maybe it is something, but it is so at the core of your being. It's what you've experienced. It's my child, and they're, I just need it, God. But all you can see is the exactness of what you've asked for. I've told you to hope while you're waiting. Why? You need something more concrete than that. When you think about hoping God's timing, this is what you put your hope in, not the clock. You hope in what God's timing is attached to. You know what it's attached to? His greatness. Hope in the greatness of your God. Because His timing is attached to the magnitude and the greatness of who He is. And when we think about the deep empties of our life, we don't understand that those are what God wants to attach and answer in accordance with who He is, not with who you are or what your plan is, as great as your plan might be. Look how this happens. The first thing I'll tell you, when it comes to the empties of your life, hope in the greatness of God. Why? Because His answer is greater than you. This is hard to swallow, but this is what it means. God wants to take the undones of your life and impact more than just you. In fact, this is really hard to swallow. You know those undones? God's waiting till your undones have drawn a crowd. We don't like weakness. We don't like undones. We don't like when it's broken and hurt in our kids. We don't like when it's broken and hurt in our marriage. We don't like when we're monetarily challenged. We don't like weakness. And God has said, I have left you in this condition, though related to me, though promised by me, upheld by me, on purpose. Why? I have a bigger plan than you. Look at verse 10. And the moment Zacharias enters the temple, it says, and the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. God waits until the moment He has the attention of the people around your life that He wants. Have you ever thought that your undones impact more than you? And He waits till the whole nation at Passover would be there, leaning in, waiting, watching, waiting for the smoke to rise up, waiting to feel the blessing, and then knowing that He's going to pause this whole moment, which should have been real quick. He's going to lengthen it. He's going to leave a priest inside the temple so that everybody's not just sitting there going, what's going on? They're like, is He dead? You know, God's known to do that. If a man walks into his presence in unrighteousness, he strikes him dead. That's why when priests go into the temple like that, they have cords wrapped around their bodies. Why? So you can pull them out if God nukes them. Do you think they're paying attention? Wow. Hope in the fact that God has a greater audience than just you. And I'm going to tell you, some of you, that hurts. Some of you, that feels so impersonal. How many of you just are like a little kid sometimes and you just want mom and dad to care about you for a moment? Don't think that that's not real feelings. And guess what? I just want to tell you, God's so great that His answer is greater than you, but it is totally aware of you. Trust in the fact that God's greatness and answer is greater than your fear. In verses 11 through 14, you have this amazing moment. Zechariah, you can just see him. He's got his incense holder. He's walking into the temple. This is his big moment. Can't believe I get to do this. This is so great. Takes a step inside the door, and there next to the altar of incense on the right is an angel of the Lord. And when it says he's troubled, that means he's knee-knocking instantly. It's like he just, you can just see the incense rattling. And here's an interesting thing. The empties and the undones of your life are the closest to the fears of your life. And it's funny that while we think of ourselves as nicely segmented people, and you think of yourselves as all put together, I mean, those empties, you've learned how to hide them, right? You can come to church and nobody can tell. You've got it all put together. In this moment, the sum of all fears comes together because Zacharias' big moment is suddenly interrupted, and the last thing he expected was for God to show up. Oh man, you know what happens in the undones of our life? We get into mode. All right, I'll trust God. He's good. I'll keep going. But what's lost is the reality that He's a living God and He wants to move and He wants to act in your life. And so we've quit hoping in the things that we've longed for and we quit praying about them and we're shocked when all of a sudden you're like, oh! And in that moment, it's like all of his fear just goes, bleh. Nobody can see it, but you can just, can't you just see the tape reel running? What did I do? Did I not do it right? Is this because of sin? Have I done something wrong? Have I done something wrong my whole life? Is that why my wife can't have a birth? Am I cursed of God? What's happening? He was troubled. And if I pressed you, would you not spill? And what hurts? And what's undone? And what you're afraid of? And in that moment, you see God in His connectedness to Zacharias. I love this. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel. The fear gripped him. Listen to this. But the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Now, I don't know if you just saw what happened, but God connects with him in the most personal way that you'll see throughout the entire scriptures. This moment. He says, "I am considerate of your fear. I know intimately what grips your heart, what causes you to doubt my love, what makes you wonder about your standing in relationship with me, and how it has exhibited itself in your mind in the undones that I've let you live with. I know. Do not be afraid." And then he blows past all these surface things and he just calls it out. "Your petition has been heard." How many of you need to hear the living God say, "I heard you"? I know. I'm aware. And then he goes right to the heart of it. What a moment. "And your old wife Elizabeth will bear a son." He was just thinking, am I going to walk out of here alive? No. The depth of your longing is going to be answered. "She will bear a son. You will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth." This is how this works, folks. And you've got to see this. Because this is the truth of God's word every time. God knows your heart. God knows your longing. And He says, I will answer your prayer, but in a way that you have no comprehension of how important it is. You see, I am going to give you something in answering you, and it is going to give you great joy and gladness. How many of you want to know that the God of the universe is concerned with your joy level? Does that mean something to you? What does God want you to have? What does He want you to experience? Joy and gladness. What is the only way to get you there? I'm going to show it to you. And I've missed it a lot of years as I've been studying this, but I think it was right in front of my face. Elizabeth will bear a son, but that's not the answer. He says, and you will call his name John. Do you know what the name John means? The Lord is gracious. I like that because that's my name, but it has nothing to do with it. God says, out of the depth of your pain, you have been heard. What is my answer to you? Listen to this, folks. My answer is grace. My answer is undeserved favor. Yes, this is very specific, but the fact is, what does God want to answer your prayer with? What does He want you to experience? And what is the only door that unlocks joy and gladness? There is no joy, there is no gladness if it is not given through grace. He wants to move into your life with what you don't deserve, what you cannot get on your own, what you cannot make happen, and can only be answered in the person of Jesus Christ, that you might have joy and gladness. You still with me? Oh, this gets better. Hope in God's greatness, because it's bigger than you. It's meant to be. The answers of God are meant to affect the world and the people around your life. It's greater than your fear. It is not you just being a minion of God, but Him intimately, personally involved with your timing, bringing you to a place where He will give you answer to the longing of your life, and it will always be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will do what? It will release joy and gladness. Put your hope in God, friends, because His answer is greater than anything. I want you to see this. Again, come with me. It says, for He will be great, speaking of this boy, in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is He who will go as the forerunner before Him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here's the danger, friend. Some of you don't get to that verse. You're stuck on, I want a child. I want a relationship. I want it to be pretty. Did you just see what happened? I took the empty of your life and I brought about the forerunner of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ the righteous. And just so you know, your ideas of, boy, I hope my child's blessed. Okay, this is a priest of God. He knows the Word of God. He understands the prophetic significance of this moment. What God has just told him is that his boy will be greater than Elijah, greater than David, who the Holy Spirit came upon. He will actually have the Holy Spirit filling him from before he enters into this world from his mother's womb. He will be unlike any child that's ever been put before him. He will be the one who announces the long-awaited Messiah, God, the hope of Israel. Now let me get less excited and put this into a math equation. God wants to take your broken and attach it to Jesus. Can you see that, Christian? God wants to take your broken and attach it to Jesus. The greatest thing, parent, are you with me, that could ever happen is if God attached your child to Jesus. Amen. The greatest hope. The greatest all of it. Its significance explodes if the undones of your life are walked through by faith with the belief that God has a purpose to attach me and this empty to Jesus and to fulfill this by giving me grace through His Son, giving me joy and gladness. When I was a kid, we used to go to Disneyland every year at Christmas time, and they were usually launching a new ride. Something they would just open them, a new ride, new experience. And I'll never forget the year we were there, and I was with there with all my cousins, 16 boys. Pray for their mothers. You know, and we're all in line, and this was before Fast Pass and all the stuff they have at Disneyland. Now, this was like if you had a new ride, you just waited. 2-hour wait. Bunch of squirmy little kids. I remember being waiting in line. And Disney does a good job of, as you wait in line, you kind of start experiencing the ride. And there's caves and roots and rocks and all this stuff. And then I remember my cousin Aaron's in front of me. Matt and Ben are behind me. And we get onto this ride and suddenly you're on the experience and you've forgotten how long you waited. And you're just like, ooh, wow, you know, and all this stuff's going on. You're going downhills and uphills and there's characters coming out of the walls at you and all this stuff. And then you feel yourself climbing and then all of a sudden you're coming out over the edge of this giant drop and you're in a log in the water. It's just like, wah! That was loud. I'll never forget getting off that ride. It's funny the things that stick in your head. And my cousin Aaron, he's just a little younger than me, he jumps out of the thing and goes, "Worth it! Worth it!" Christian, don't you want to be there with your hands up when God decides to move in the empty? The first, the second, the third time. And with loud voice just say, worth it. Worth it to be connected to Christ. Worth it to see His power unfold. Friends, it's greater than anything to be connected to Jesus. Some writer said, if God puts you on hold, don't hang up. This last one to me is so precious because hope in God's greatness, it's greater than you. It's greater than your fear. He loves you. He knows you. He's in this moment with you. It's greater than anything because it connects you to the Lord Jesus Christ beyond anything you could imagine. But it's also greater than your failure. How many of you would say, yeah, I've blown it while I waited? How many of you have bailed on the promises of God? I could say amen and amen just for the pastor. How many of you have almost just put God in a box in that area of your life and you're moving on and you're dealing with it? Just going to cope. There's a shocking thing that happens at this moment. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Now, I want to get you into the magnitude of this moment. It's been 400 years since any angelic being spoke to anybody in Israel. Longer than the history of the United States of America has been going on. It has been that long since anyone heard a word of hope from God. And on the day that God announces not only the forerunner of the Messiah, but lets you know a priest from the tribe of Abijah, the one in a million shot that you get selected, Mr. Advanced in years, holding on to Jesus, waiting for glory, he decides to tell you that Christ is coming. And there's an entire nation out there who has been dying for hope. It's the biggest moment that's happened in years. And your answer is, I'm old. Excuse me, I'm old. My wife's old. We're old. It'd be comical if it wasn't so true of our lives, isn't it? See, some of you are exalting the evidence against God in your heart.
You keep throwing it up. God's moving. God's time. He's not failed. He's not let go one thing. He has joy, gladness, fulfillment, power waiting in your life. And it's not on your good behavior. It's on His promise. And yet you have become so entrenched in your losses and your pain that that's the one thing you can see. So much so that you would tell a messenger of the living God, I'm old. And in that moment, you and I both need the rebuke that comes. And we need to hear it. That's basically, he tells, how do I know, excuse me, where this can't happen? And I love the answer. This is so great. Then the angel answered to him. If you ever wanted like a drop the mic angel moment, this is it. He says, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now, in that moment, you could think of say, I'm Gabriel. He could say that. I am an archangel. But you know what he's saying? I stand in the presence of Almighty, Eternal God, who said this to me directly. Who are you to disagree with Almighty God? And if I'm being intense, some of you need to have someone crawl up into your pain and say, who are you to tell God what He can and cannot do? He has determined to bring Himself glory. He has allowed emptiness and hurt and hard that you might walk by faith. And who are you to say, I'm sorry, God, I'm 100 and I just can't have a kid? Contrary to popular opinion, you can. And if that sounds outrageous, you lay your hurt on the altar and you ask God, what can you do with that? And who am I to disagree? You see, friends, I've never seen Gabriel, but I have heard it from the mouth of God about my life and about yours. And honestly, can we receive that today as a church? Who are we to live our lives throwing our evidence of hurt up there as if now, God, it's too late? You know, the hard part of this story is there is a negative. In this moment, you know what? It just kills me. And God uses it, His perfect plan. He works even in our weakness and struggle. But the angel says, because you did not believe me, now you're going to be silent. Oh my goodness. Some of us are like, oh, how rough that must have been to not be able to speak until your child was born. Oh, no. Do you remember that crowd out there who've been waiting for 400 years for Messiah to come? And you're the one person on the planet with the message that is needed most, and you run out there and are like, you know what happens? We exalt the undones of our life, and they silence what God is doing and how He's working. I've probably told you this too. When I was in seminary, my wife Kim and I were at a place where we were just so poor. Like, rice and potatoes all. You know, I mean, just like you're just trying to get by. You're going to school. You're working crazy jobs. She's got two of our kids at home, infants. We're doing everything we can to make it. Have you ever just had that moment where it all just feels too heavy? And so crushing in. And all your hopes and dreams, you're just like, I can't even see it. I'm just blinded by it. I remember in one of those moments, I went over to see my grandfather. He was a great, godly man. And have you ever just thrown up your life on someone? Like, you don't even wait for them to respond. You're just like, here it is. All my yuck. All my undone. All my hurt. I just, wah. And for like 30 minutes, it's so hard. I don't know if we're going to make it, you know. And I was basically like, can we have some cash? You know, help us out, Grandpa, you know. I mean, I was desperate. I was like, and like right in the middle of all that, he stops me and goes, but my boy, that's how he used to call me. His exact words, "You're doing famously." What? Weren't you listening? And then he stops. He says, "My boy, you are studying to preach the Word of God." And I remember him talking about my wife. He's like, "And God has given you this wonderful young lady, this godly partner." That's what he talked about. "What a partner, John. And God is doing this and your beautiful children and da 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 da." He goes, "Well, you're doing famously. You're right where you're supposed to be." Now, sometimes all we can see is the empties, and it takes a person who's learned this lesson to go, "All I can see is the answers. All I can see is the goodness of God." The greatest news in this story is that we find that God's faithful when we're not. I mean, Zechariah, he kind of blows it. But the fact is that it doesn't end God's promise. Some of you are sitting here today and you're afraid that you've blown it, and that's the reason why God's not going to answer your prayer. Wrong. How much of your salvation did you earn? How much of God's good movement in your life have you earned? How much of that is all upon the grace of God? What does God want to do? Rightly connect you and your pain to His grace that you might have joy and gladness. And when you look at the story of these two, we find God faithful. In verse 24 and 25, it says, "After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant." Don't you wish you could have seen Zechariah on that day? Can you just see him running around the house not being able to say everything? Just celebrating. Can't say a word. How many of you know he walked out of that place scared that he had blown the whole deal? Oh, come on, Christian. You know what that feels like. You messed up. You sinned. You've lied. You've quit hoping. You've been angry. You've been a million things. And you know the promise of God in your life. And you feel like you've blown it. And then God is faithful when we are faithless. 2 Timothy 2:13. Hope in the greatness of God. It's bigger than you. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, and oh, by the way, we know that she was in seclusion when Mary comes to see her. And there's all this other greatness of this story. But we find this announcement from Elizabeth. "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when He looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Right there is so wonderful, because it doesn't say anything about forerunner of Messiah. It doesn't say anything about anything. It just is a very personal acknowledgement of, look at what God did for me. Hope in the greatness of God, because there's room for what God did for me. Amen? And there's the power that God's not going to fail. On this last slide, I just wanted to put this verse in front of you. It's so good. Galatians 4, 3 through 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law." When the fullness of time came. Some of you could come, every one of you could come, and you could tell me about the things of your life, and I could answer with this. And it wouldn't be hurtful or hard. I could tell you God knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows what it's like to lose, to wait, to feel pain. And He knows what's at the end of it is His glory and you in an intimate relationship with Jesus. And can you just hear the heart of God saying, "I'm not willing to let you miss my joy. I love you too much. I sent my Son that you might have it." And that'll give you hope. Amen? That'll give you hope. Can I pray for you? God, you are the God who never misses the bus. You are the God who knows the depth of the longings of our heart. God, in no way do I hope anyone heard this morning that pain is not real. Undones are not hard. It's hard to wait. But God, would we put our hope in how you choose to take people who are undeserving and to know us and to have heard us and work out in your sovereign plan the fulfillment of our lives, and God, that the answer of our life in your perfect timing would be attached to Jesus. God, I pray for the undones in this room. I pray, God, that we would not miss them being attached and fulfilled in Christ. That we would know hope and that we would know joy. And all God's people said, Amen.